Members of council, the first item I have is the banking RFP award. The finance department has recently issued requests for proposals for banking services because of the county's agreement expired with M&amp;T this month. The county received two completed proposals from M&amp;T Bank and WSFS. We also received an incomplete proposal from Santander. PNC declined to submit a proposal due to our heavy reliance on bank deposits. M&amp;T ranked the highest based on the criteria set in the RFP, which was capacity to perform, price, ability to go above the minimum, financial strength, experience, and the location of their branches. M&amp;T Bank's proposal offered all the required services the county requested in the RFP. In addition, full collateralization was included along with the bank's willingness to accept all county deposits. M&amp;T Bank also offers services that will allow the county to grow with its banking services as needed. For example, M&amp;T offers services such as Lockbox, which is the collection of customer payments, credit card processing, and ACI, which is the aggregate online bill payment for ease of processing. Then the county currently banks with M&amp;T. WSF's proposal offered all the required services and competitive rates. However, they did not offer some of the services that would allow us to take advantage of our efficiencies created by our current technology. In addition, the nearest WSFS bank is located in Millsboro or Lewis, which would substantially increase the time necessary to utilize a branch for a deposit. Furthermore, WSFS bond rating was not as high as M&amp;T. And at this time, I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion, ma'am.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council award the banking services contract to M&amp;T Bank for 3 years beginning July 1 with the option to extend the contract year by year by mutual agreement.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. The next one is a pension update. This quarter, I decided to put a PowerPoint together because we've covered a lot of issues this time. And give me a second. So every quarter, I give you a performance summary of our pension fund and our OPEB benefit fund. You'll see that our pension fund has $72.6 million. We had a first quarter gain of $644,000, and that's a 0.9%. The percentages is how we ranked with our peers that are monitored through Pierce Park. You can see that we didn't perform that great this quarter, and we have some recommendations how we're going to improve that. And you can see how we performed based off of 3 years and 5 years. Our OPEB, our pension benefit fund, has a market value of $31.5 million. We had a $494,000 gain, which is a 1.6% quarter. So we did very well in the OPEB fund, showing a 28% increase. And you can see how that's improved since looking over a three-year period. So some of the goals that the pension committee has put together is to increase the return by looking at our equity allocation of 65% versus 60. Currently, we put 60% equity. We'd like to look at 65. Our OPEB does have 65%, and you can see how it's outperforming at this point. We're also asking that a representative from the state pension fund, where we have 60% of our money in the pension fund at the state, to come and talk about it. Their performance hasn't been well for the last 6 months. So they have confirmed that they will be at our August 28th meeting. And also, the mid-caps equities have outperformed their benchmarks, so we're going to consider at the next pension committee to also buy more equities in that category. Okay, moving on, we had our actuary, a new actuary called Chiron, do a couple of reports, and I'm going to go over that. They verify that the assumptions to determine our liability were in line because we had been using the same actuary for many years, which was Aon. So we had them look at that. They reviewed the sustainability of our plans, if we can keep funding them and if we're going to have any issues in the future. And then they also analyzed some pension changes that we could look to. So moving on to the assumptions. So what I did here is I created a table that lists all the assumptions that take in account to value our pension. And you'll see all of these assumptions here on this table. They're recommending no changes. They're happy with what Aon had used. Moving on, again, we're listing some more. In the OPEB fund with healthcare trends, Aon had used an 8-year smoothing rate, basically looking at over 8 years taking that cost and spending it over 8 years. Their history has showed 15 years better. Dental and vision trends, they have seen that dental and vision costs usually go up 5% every year. Aon had used a 7% to 5% variable. The cost method for the OPEB, they would like to change that to entry age normal, which is compliance with GASB 7475, which comes out in 2018, so it's a time to start making that change because of regulations. We do use that cost method for the pension fund already. The interest rate, they just want to clarify that when we use the 7.5% interest rate, it's net of administrative expenses. And then, again, with our GASB 6869 and GASB 7475, we need to have an explicit assumption of those administrative expenses. So they would like us to define that. So I have a motion for those assumptions before we move on to any of the other pension changes. And the motion is, be it moved that Sussex County Council, based on the recommendation of its actuary, Chiron, and the Pension Committee, modify the OPEB and pension assumptions as presented.
Pleasure, Council.
Make that motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Arlett. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. Okay. So moving on to our pension contribution, every year they give us how much we should contribute in our next budget. And I just want to let you know, in our budget, they recommended $3.2 million. We have a budgeted contribution this year of $3.6 million. It's about a $300,000 increase over what it's recommended, so that's great. We're currently 84% funded, so that'll get us closer to the 100%. Our OPEB pension fund, they would like us to contribute $2,075,000. In the budget, we have $2,183,000. Again, so we are contributing more than what is required by our actuary to get us closer to the 100%. Okay, moving on to the sustainability of our pension. So as we're preparing future budgets and looking at pension changes, is what we have out there sustainable? So the first chart looks at, right now we're 84% funded. In 20 years, where will we be? And based off of getting a 7.5% return, which is our assumption, we will be 100% funded in 20 years. And that's hopefully that we'll get the 7.5%. The chart underneath shows that they're saying we need to contribute 14.9% of gross salaries. And that's what we have it. Like I said, we are contributing a little bit more than that. But because we are on a great projection, over time, that percentage of what we have to contribute based off of salaries will decrease. Now, the dollar amount necessarily won't decrease. It's going to be pretty much flat because our salaries will increase with it. But the percentage is going down, and that is a great thing to see. So they were very happy with the sustainability of our pension. OPEB, that's a little bit different because of the rising cost of health care. And our percentage is not quite as well as our pension, but I have to say that we are well above other governments and where we are. So there's nothing to worry. They have no concerns here either. If our contributions stay 9% of gross payroll, which is what we have in the budget, and we do get a 7.5% rate of return, we will be 88% funded in 20 years versus the 100 from the other side. So when I did the calculation, it'll be closer to 35 years when we get 100% funded. You'll see that over time, because of the rising healthcare cost, right now we're contributions are about $2.2 million, and they'll go to $3.5 million, which is about a 3% increase every year, which is about what we're seeing in growth of the budget as well. So it's sustainable.
35 years from now.
35 years from now.
You'll still be.
To be 100% funded.
To be 100%.
And
that's when George will retire.
Yeah.
Well, Lawrence retired. I'm looking forward to it. How critical is it to be 100% funded? I mean, 88% funded is pretty darn good.
That's correct.
And that's current.
We're 74% funded, which is great for the pension.
Correct.
Exactly. There are local governments in the state that are about 5% in single digits.
Right.
So we are doing well.
I mean, what would, at where we are today at, like, say, close to 75% funded, mm-hmm. what could impact us if everybody retired 500 employees retired at one time?
Well, not all of us are eligible, but that's what all of those assumptions are. It takes an account looking at our history when people retire,
right,
and that we have no problem meeting that obligation. There's no issue. So we are currently, when we contribute every year, we contribute more than what is being paid out. So that is going out. So we are meeting our obligation annually.
But I mean, is there any requirement that we have to be 100% funded?
No, not at all. There's actually
at 75% funded, we pretty much are in good shape.
Correct.
It's sustainable at 75%, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah, there's a lot of debate out there whether 100% is where you really want to go, because there's all these assumptions built in.
Right.
So a high percentage is good. Do you want to get to 100%? That's a philosophical question of where. But knowing that we're able to get that within 35 years and keep moving, the actuary is very happy to see that.
I have to say, since being on council, I've learned a lot about pensions. And have some friends who have lost all their pensions, like Bethlehem Steel, that type of, you know, place like that. And they weren't as secure as a lot of us thought they were.
Yeah.
And it's frightening that there really isn't any requirement that they have to be funded by so much, even in the government. Is that right?
There is no requirement. We're required to report it on our financial statements.
Uh-huh.
We'll show the liability, and that could affect
don't
our bond rating.
If you don't do it, your bond rating drops, okay.
That's how it would affect us.
What? And this is, have patience, please, because this is so important to me. What if the banks that are holding it, that are too big to fail, actually do fail, and the government doesn't bail them out? Where are we?
Well, not all of our, I don't know. I mean, that's a scary situation. Yes.
We're Venezuela.
But these banks also make investments in the market, do they not?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well,
they're still doing that.
Right, and not all of our money is just in banks. I mean, we have equities out there, but it's going to all trickle down, and there would be an issue. Everybody, yes.
We would not. Like everybody else. It's what you're saying.
Our money is collateralized.
Yeah, you say it's collateralized, but where else are we going to put the money if we don't put it in banks?
Yeah, so we need to get a return, because we need our money to make money, or we're not going to be able to sustain
this. Oh, sure. I'm just, you know, thinking about, you know, what would happen if it was because it happened, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, okay, thank you.
Okay, Office Jennings?
Moving on.
Okay, moving on then.
Thank you.
That's all right. The next item that the actuary looked at is making some changes to our pension fund, and this has been requested specifically by our 12-hour employees to take a look at this, and that's what we have done. So they would like to change the annual salary calculation from 40 hours to 42 hours. And the reason for that is our 12-hour employees work 48 hours one week, 36 hours the next, which averages to 42. And their annual salary now is calculated on the 40. So what's that mean? So if you take a 19-hour employee, that'll equate to $39,000 because it's based off of 40 hours. If you take the new 19-hour employee and equate to 42, their new annual salary is $41,000. And we use the three highest salaries to calculate their pension. So that's why that makes the difference. There's also a different with the pay scale as well that makes a difference is now they'll max out of their pay range sooner. So when we look at when we did those pay bands last year, minimum and max, now they'll get to their max sooner as well. So this is going to require us to run this through the personnel committee. I'm going to take this to the pension committee. There's going to be multiple steps. I've talked to our personnel attorney on what the steps should be, and I'll get to that in a second. The next change they would like to see is allow up to 30 years of service for their pension. Currently, they're capped at 25 years. And because employees start at a younger age, they're still in their prime in 25 years, and it would save us money if we could keep them on longer, not have to pay a pension, and also hire a new employee. So look at that, what the cost was, and they're recommending that. Mm-hmm. Bringing that up, it probably would also benefit, it will benefit if we do that for all the employees, increase that cap to 5%. So.
You mean 5 years?
5 years, sorry, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd be 30 years, and then they have an they can still retire 30 years with a full pension, but now they have an option to retire 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, and get that incremental increase. based off the years.
So, Mr. President, may I?
Yes, sir, Ms. Orlett.
With Ms. Jennings, with our planning and zoning director, at 47 years, holy cow, what is he? What's
so, actually, he does get, not to bring him into all of it. anybody hired prior to 2001 was never capped. This was something that was changed somewhere along the line. So he gets it all the way up to 47, and that was capped. But now, if another Lawrence comes along, they get up to 35 years.
Why?
If this goes through.
I don't know what he gets, but whatever it is, it should be probably double. But in any event, that's not going to be a motion.
Okay, it's checked.
It could be. I mean, do we have a second?
You saw Robin smile at him.
Robin seconded it.
This doesn't cost anything.
So yeah, I'll get to that. It's not gonna cost anything. The next two slides talk about the cost specifically. So look at the cost for the 40 to 42 hours. Our pension, like I said, is 84% funded. It would go to 83.8%. We're looking at a 0.6% difference. Overall, the liability is increasing $702,000 for this change, which will increase our contribution at $101,000 a year to get rid of that $772,000 extra liability. So there is a cost for the 40 to 42. Moving to 25 to 30, I specifically had the actuary look at the 12-hour employees. This actually could be a cost saving. So the actuary is looking at this as cost neutral. So each column, they're using different assumptions. The 100% retirement is that everybody retires still at 25 years, 26, in that small frame, that costs us money. But if only 25% take the early option and most of people retire the 30 years, it actually saves us $11,000 a year. So this change does not really affect, because we're now paying pension out less because they're working more, is what that affects.
How about the 30 to 35?
And the 30 to 35 would be the same kind of effect as well.
So it's per employee, $11,000 per employee?
Nope.
Total.
Say
$11,000.
Total. Yeah, that's why it's pretty much cost neutral.
It's not a big
in total.
Yeah.
And the 40 to 42 hours?
Yes.
Is that's paramedics, obviously.
Yes.
Is that dispatchers? EOC dispatchers?
Yes. Sorry.
And SCADA dispatchers?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is all employees that are currently 12 hours. So this will affect, the paramedics have brought it to our attention, but we would also do it as well for, like you said, the dispatchers and the SCADA dispatchers as well.
Very good. As long as everybody's being treated fair, that's good.
Yes. Okay.
What's next?
So moving on to, I just want to lay out the timeline for all these changes, where I see this going, and then I have the motion at the end. So Karen Brewington and I talked to the personnel attorney today, making sure we're on the same page. He's going to draft changes to both the personnel and the pension ordinances for these changes. I'm going to distribute the ordinances to the pension committee on August 18th to make sure they're aware of what's going on, because they're responsible for the funding aspect of it. Then we're going to have to go through the whole hearing process through the personnel board, and we plan on doing that this fall. Then the personnel board makes the recommendation to the county administrator. And then the draft ordinances will go before you. And my plan is to have these changes, if everybody is in agreement, by January 1, 2017. And then I have the motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council directs the finance director to work with the county personnel attorney and human resources to change the annual salary calculation from 40 to 42 hours for 12-hour employees and extend all employees' service cap 5 years, effective January 1, 2017.
Pleasure, Council.
That one. I'll second it.
Motion, Mrs. Devers. Second, Mr. Arlett. Questions?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Quick question. That would be for the, let's say, between now and when this motion is actually approved, assuming it would be approved by the council, is there any look back, to any employees, or is it effective once we approve it and it's from that date forward for employees from that date forward that retire?
Correct. It would be if you retire after as of January 1, 2017. So you don't have to be hired after that date or anything. It's as if you retired as of that date.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I understood that.
Yes.
Any more questions, Council?
I just want to say, what a great job you do. I wouldn't give a question like I gave to you if I didn't know your abilities. Just Great job.
Thank you.
Any more questions, the council? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Well, I will certainly say yes. And again, I just want to thank her because I know it, it's important to pay the employees for what they actually are doing and give them the incentive to keep on beyond the 25 years, especially those that are loving to serve the public and what they do. So I just want to thank you for all your efforts and certainly yes.
Mr. Wilson?
I believe that Lawrence should change his dates January 1st, 2017.
There you go.
So what's your vote?
My vote, yes.
I'll vote yes, motion carried. And as Councilman Arlett already said, thank you very much for all your hard work on this with your staff and everybody else. It's a good thing for the employees. That's never a bad thing.
And I'm a little upset that I didn't realize Lawrence didn't have a cap. I'd make a motion we get him a baseball cap for his retirement. Says Sussex County on it.
Yeah. Sussex County retiree.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But,
yeah, everybody needs a cap. Sorry, Lawrence. It upsets me.
Retiree to be.
Oh, yeah, to be. That's right.
But no cap.
He's capless. Andrea Wall, federal payment in lieu of taxes.
Good morning, Mr. President and members of council. A check in the amount of $38,898 has been received from the United States Department of the Interior, Fish and Wildlife Service as a federal payment in lieu of taxes for the Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuge. This check represents payments under the Refuge Revenue Sharing Act covering fiscal year 2015. The amount is calculated by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service by prorating the total funds available for payment. The check is funded through revenues generated from the Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuge and from a supplemental congressional appropriation. Sussex County may use these funds for any governmental purpose. The amount given to us has been consistent for the last 6 years. The recommendation is to allocate these funds in the same percentage as the other county tax collections as the county has done in the past. If you don't have any questions, I have a motion.
You have a motion?
I do. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the accounting department's recommended distribution of the refuge revenue sharing funds as follows. Milford School District, $7,380.75. Cape Henlopen School District, $23,850.71. Sussex Tech, $3,258.21. Sussex County, $3,945.72. And Sussex County Libraries, $462.62.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'll be the motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.